I'd like to welcome everyone out, especially those who are visiting the Heatheridge Sixth Ward Sacrament Meeting on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. The only announcement I have is that the Elders Quorum will be meeting in room 117 in the northwest corner of the building, okay? They're kind of experimenting and trying to figure out the right room for the quorum. Our opening hymn is hymn 280, Welcome Sabbath Morning, and the invocation will be offered by Brother Matt Melville.
Our Father who art in heaven, we come before thee, gathered as thy saints from the Heatheridge Sixth Ward. We are so grateful for this beautiful Sabbath day that we can come and partake of thy emblems this day and renew our covenants which we have made with thee. Father, we pray that the speakers might be inspired, that they might be able to convey their thoughts and thy thoughts to each one of us this day. We are grateful to have the gospel in our lives. Help us that we might live it on a daily basis, that we might minister to those who are around us, that we might be examples to those who we come in contact with. We love thee, Father, and we say these things humbly in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We have a few items of ward business. If we could have James Lewis, Miles Lewis, Dallin Hill, and Tyler Hill all stand. Great. We propose that James Lewis, Miles Lewis, Dallin Hill, and Tyler Hill receive the Aaronic priesthood and be ordained to the office of a deacon. Those in favor may manifest it by the uplifted hand. Those opposed, if any, may manifest. You may be seated. It's been a thrill to interview these young men. It's fun to see these actually 11-year-olds come into the priesthood. It's wonderful, and the young women coming into young women's. We have a few callings. We have called the following individuals. Please stand as your name is read. Brett Weeks, Ward Temple Family History Consultant. Judy Perrette, Primary Worker. Caitlin Bluth, Nursery Worker. And Haley Weeks, Nursery Worker. We propose that they be sustained. Those in favor may show by the uplifted hand. Any opposed by the same sign. Thank you. We have a wonderful program today. Our first speaker is Sister Pat Martinez, and then our closing speaker will be Brother Jeff Hill.
I was, asked to speak with the question, how do we fully participate in our meetings? And one of the specific follow-up questions was, how do we get the most from each meeting? Now, as I pondered the question that we continually ask ourselves in all areas of life, I realize that the question is actually contrary to gospel truth. Throughout time, we've heard apostles, prophets, leaders admonish us to do differently. And one of those greatest admonishments is found in Matthew 10:39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So the question for the sacrament talk became, instead of asking how I can get the most from each meeting, to how can I give the most to my church meetings? Because in that switch, in the giving, is how I will find my life in the Savior. So one of the greatest gospel truths is actually counterintuitive to what we initially think that will bring our greatest happiness. We're told to think of ourselves, fulfill ourselves, but this is actually a great counterfeit. To forget ourselves and think of others is possibly the most powerful piece of advice for church attendance and for eternal happiness. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, we have the injured Jew, and then we have the Levite, and then we have the priest. And both of those men are upheld within the community. They're thought of great people. And because exactly what they thought, what will I get out of helping this injured Jew, they realize that they would get possibly their own loss of life or be injured. So that stopped them from asking. And it was the Samaritan who was disparaged among men and this group of people who didn't think to ask, what will I get from this, but instead, what will I give? In fact, he may not have ever asked, what can I give to this man? He may have seen the need and just given because of what he was. And then in his actions, Jesus used his and an example. Can you imagine if Jesus could use you as an example? Another strong admonishment is this we find in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. I'm going to read through all those verses, so please follow along if you desire to do so. Again, Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Now here's a critical part of the next verse. Then shall the righteous, okay, the righteous, of which hopefully we tend to think of ourselves, we gather as saints today. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and the angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, ye took me not in. Naked, ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Oops, let me end there. So sacrament meetings, how do we give more? In 2 Nephi 9:42, it starts, And whoso knocketh to him will he open. Last week I came home from work and pushed on the clicker to open the garage, and the garage door wouldn't open. It was closed to me, and it was frustrating, and I was closed out of my own home. What previously had been such a simple finger movement was not possible. I felt the analogy of the door not being open to me. So first we know we must knock. Now, he follows that with an interesting twist, I think. And the wise and the learned and they that are rich. So many of us dismiss ourselves from this scripture because we don't consider ourselves wise, learned, or rich. But if you live in America, you are learned. You have a basic education. And maybe you are wise because you opened a business or because you've raised children. And it is thought in many parts of the world that if you own more than one pair of shoes, you are rich. So this verse applies to all of us here today. And so we are vulnerable to the next part of the scripture, sort of the rebuke. So you that are rich, learned, and wise, who are puffed up because of their learning and their wisdom and their richness, because of wisdom and riches, yea, they are whom, and this hurts, they are whom he despiseth, who Heavenly Father despiseth. And save they shall cast these things away and consider themselves fools before God and come down the depths of humility, he will not open that door to them. So knocking requires humility. But the things of the wise and the prudent shall be hid from them forever. Yea, that happiness which is prepared for the saints. So there's always a warning, possible rebuke, but then always that promise. O my beloved brethren, turn away from your sins. Shake off the chains of him that would bind you fast. Come unto God, who is the rock of your salvation. So what can we give to our sacrament meetings? We can give away our sins. And it is only then that we are able to knock and partake of that happiness which is prepared for the saints, you. When I asked my grandchildren, many of you know Max and Annie, Max said, pay attention. That's how you give in church and get in church. And Annie said, singing the hymns. She is a music person, and to give worship through singing the hymns was to her important. And when I asked another friend, she suggested it would be smart to pray in church. And then I turned to her and asked, have you ever prayed before church? And she laughed. And I said, I never have either. And then she promised to start praying before church. She really didn't, but she's here. And I wanted her to think about that. Since she gave me the idea, I need to start thinking about that too. Last February, Tony and I took a kayak trip where we weren't able to go to church. So we were far away from any city or town, and we wouldn't be able to observe the Sabbath in a traditional way. So we decided to read the scriptures and pick out a favorite verse and then share it with one another. And we did this, and it was important, but by the end of the day, it was just another day. That night, I crawled into our tent, and I had a kind of sadness because I was not among the saints on the Sabbath. I was not mingling with the saints. Our travel companions were good people, but their lifestyle was contrary to the way that we were living, and they were vocal in their resistance to our well-known way of life. I searched for solace in this subtle opposition by trying to give to the people. Years ago, a young man from South Africa conducted a fireside for the youth. And after it was over, he said, he mentioned that we would have refreshments after, and it would be our chance to mingle with the saints. And over the years, mingling with the saints has become this beautiful phrase for being among you. Lyman Sherman went to the Lord, to the prophet Joseph Smith too, and asked, what can I do? What do I need to do? He was told that he needed to strengthen your brethren in all your conversations, in all your prayers, in all your exhortations, and in all your doings. The temple. Typically, I have gone to the temple to renew myself, to increase my testimony, to find answers to my prayers. What can I get from the temple today? What if I made the switch? What if I started attending the temple with the same idea? What can I give in the temple today? following the admonition in Ecclesiastes 11:1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find after many days. Find the bread after many days. From the dedicatory prayer of the Kirtland Temple on March 1836, section 109, verses 22 through 23. And we ask thee, Holy Father, that thy servants may go forth from this house armed with the power, and that thy name may be upon them. Temple attendance giving, and then casting thy bread, and then finding days later. Because that promise that when we leave the temple, we are armed with the power goes with us, and that bread is found in the following days, weeks, and months. Bunjay Featherstone also said to temple workers, to a friend's parents years ago, you will lose hope without going to the temple in the last days. My last question for myself and for you is, how do we take this giving that we will benefit from in sacrament and temple service, how do we take it beyond? How do we make it who we are in the workplace, in our homes, in the people we serve and teach? I want to share the words of a beloved professor I had many years ago, who I believe now is deceased. He said to a room packed full of students, my job is not to teach these students English, but it is to bring to pass the eternal life and immortality of these students whom I teach. I've been thinking, what if I take this message to my family, not only my students, but other people that we encounter with that may be abrasive to us? What if our thought was not, what an awful person, but how do I help bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of this man, of this person? Again, those admonitions, the obedience, the commandments we are asked to follow always come with a promise. Most recently, our prophet gave a promise to the women in the church. In exchange for giving up social media, reading the Book of Mormon, establishing a regular temple attendance pattern, and participating fully in Relief Society and sacrament, he said, sisters, I love you and thank you. As a result of your efforts, I promise that the heavens will open for you. The Lord will bless you with increased inspiration and revelation. I promise that the heavens will open for you. I cannot think of a greater gift from my Heavenly Father in exchange for my determination and purpose in giving to my sacrament meetings, to my family, to the people I encounter in my life, to my temple attendance and worship. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'd just like to add a second witness to Sister Martinez, that as we focus on what we give in all of these domains, instead of what we get, we'll receive great blessings. I guess it was last week Brother Holland gave me a call at my office at BYU. He's never called me before at BYU. And when I saw, I'd missed the call, and I saw that he had called, I hoped against hope that he would ask me to speak in sacrament meeting, because I love to speak in sacrament meeting, and my hope was fulfilled, and I'm here to speak in sacrament meeting today. I'm very, very blessed in so many ways. The greatest blessing that I have is that I'm married to Tammy. Tammy is delightful to be married to. She has an array of gifts that she shares with me. She's spiritual, she's an excellent cook, she's an open communicator. She tells it how it is. And she's a gifted teacher. She teaches at BYU marriage preparation to about 500 students a semester, following the steps of Brent Barlow, the legendary BYU professor of marriage prep. A few decades ago, Brent Barlow wrote a book. And in this book, I read the quote that I'm going to share with you as an introduction to my talk. He wrote, "I was invited to teach a priesthood lesson in our ward on husband-wife relationships. During the lesson, I asked the core members how many would like to receive a revelation this afternoon. All the hands shot up. And then I suggested that each of the brethren go home and ask their wives how they could be better husbands." And he writes, "I should add that I followed my own advice and had a very informative discussion with Susan for more than an hour that afternoon." Since I read that article, I have tried to do exactly what he suggests. And I'm so blessed to be married to Tammy. I want to be a better husband for her. When I ask her, "What can I do to be a better husband?" She says a lot of things, but her most consistent response is, "You can stay awake in church. It's embarrassing for me when you fall asleep, and I find you very unattractive when you're asleep in church." How's that to cut right to the core? She really brings out the scripture, Ether 12:27. "If men and women come unto me, I will show them their weakness. If they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them." So, in this talk today, I would like to call myself and any of you for whom the shoe fits to repentance. I would like to encourage us to be wide awake and fully engaged in our Sunday meetings. Not half awake, not daydreaming, not dozing, not taking a quiet nap, not resting peacefully, and certainly not snoring. We must be wide awake and fully engaged. In the next few minutes, I'd like to share four groups of practical suggestions to help us be wide awake and fully engaged in our church meetings. I'll talk about what we can do before our meetings so that it will be more likely that we'll be wide awake and fully engaged. Talk about what we can do during sacrament meeting, about what we can do during our classes, and then what we can do after our meetings. So let's start in the home. And of course, the home is where everything starts. That's what this whole two-hour program is about. The number one thing that we can do, that we've been counseled to do, and can follow the prophets in doing, is to go through Come Follow Me, to, on a daily basis, ponder those scriptures and the questions, and then come to our meetings with our own questions, our own insights to share with others. Another thing that we can do at home is on Saturday night, get a good night's sleep. This 88:24 DNC says, "Retire to thy bed early that you may not be weary. Arise early that your bodies and your minds may be invigorated." That is a way to be invigorated for church. Now, I mentioned this to, I talked with Tammy actually this morning about this, and she said, "For me, what I should do is take a nap at noon. You know, have lunch, take a nap, and then I wouldn't have to take a nap during sacrament meeting." So that's a practical advice. Take a nap before you come to church instead of during church. And then finally, and Sister Martinez, I loved her talk. It was a perfect talk. But I think that if we pray in our individual prayers and in our families, for the teachers that are going to teach, for the speakers that are going to speak, and for us to be receptive to what we need to learn, why we'll be more likely to be wide awake and fully engaged on Sunday. Now to sacrament meeting. how can we be wide awake and fully engaged during sacrament meeting? One of the most important things is to not fall asleep. And I found some tricks to do this. This is just a practical trick. If you have this problem, if you sit straight up and lift your feet off the ground, when you fall asleep, your feet drop and you wake up. So there's some practical advice for staying awake in sacrament meeting. But on a more serious note, and if you remember when I was on the bishopric, I would do that all the time because I'm repenting. The main focus to be wide awake and fully engaged is the sacrament itself, is preparing for the sacrament. I still remember the day that I was baptized, which is now 57 years ago. And I remember the feeling of being totally clean when I came out of the water. I also remember, I think it was a primary teacher, telling her, oh, I wish that you could just get baptized every week. And the primary teacher said, you can. And I said, how? I said, when you partake of the sacrament, when you use that as an opportunity to repent of your sins, you can be as clean after you partake of the sacrament as when you're baptized in the water. And that's always stuck with me. And perhaps the best way is to prepare for the sacrament. Have a few things that you're going to talk over with the Savior during the sacrament meeting and repent of those things that you need to change and feel of that forgiveness. During the talks in sacrament meeting, a great way to stay fully engaged is taking notes. There are several members of my family that take notes, and they do it in a variety of ways. There's the traditional note-taking, having a sacrament meeting notebook and take notes during it, special things you want to remember. Several members of my family will draw pictures about the meanings of the talks. What a great way to stay engaged and stay thinking about what's going on. Another suggestion is to not watch the clock. Oh, I have 5 minutes left. Don't watch the clock during sacrament meeting. Number one, it just makes it seem longer. And it's not too long now. It's just an hour anyway. And number two, it's kind of distracting to the speaker if half the congregation keeps looking up at the clock. So that's one way to stay there. Another, and this actually came from the ensign, is to avoid the classic board position. Your elbows on your knees and your head in your hands or on the bench in front of you. That also can be distracting to the speaker, and it's better for snoozing than for learning. That's a quote. Finally, in sacrament meeting, the use of electronic devices. I read a very interesting article. I've kind of been of the persuasion that electronic devices are something you should put away during sacrament meeting. However, I was convinced in this article, the key about electronic devices is that they're being used to connect you with what's happening in sacrament meeting or during the sacrament, and not for something to distract you. And then for those of us not using electronic devices, the key is to let everyone have their own choice related to devices, not be distracted by other people using devices. When you see someone using their cell phone during sacrament meeting, just assume they're looking up a scripture, not that they're on Facebook or something like that. Moving on, in our classes, to be wide awake and fully engaged, raise your hand to say something. Make a comment that's pertinent. I teach Sunday, it's kind of humbling to teach Sunday school with Sister Jensen because she is so good. But I prepared a lesson for the first time in January when the big snowstorm hit. And so I didn't get to give that lesson. But since we only have 3 minutes left, I'm not going to give it now. But I am going to share one thing that applies to this talk. I believe that we're changing, we're pivoting in our Sunday school from the way we have done it to a new way. And in the new way, there will be more discussion and less instruction. There'll be less polite listening and more heartfelt sharing. There'll be less of a teacher-student feel and a more family feel of brothers and sisters. So it's up to us to take responsibility for our own learning. And as we do so, we'll be wide awake and fully engaged. Ask thoughtful questions. Comment about others' questions. When someone expresses a sincere and heartfelt doubt or something you don't agree with, still be supportive, not condescending or contemptuous. If we do so, he that preacheth and he that receiveth understand one another, and both are edified and rejoice together. To conclude, I'll just say a couple of words about what we can do after our meetings to be wide awake and fully engaged. As a family, we can share what we've learned in our classes and at sacrament meeting. One thing that we have done, not my idea, is to have a sacrament meeting quiz with treats at home, where just highlights of the different talks. And one thing that Tammy has done that I think is just wonderful is to share an email or a note or a treat with those who gave the sacrament meeting talks to express appreciation specifically for what was learned. To conclude, I'd like to share a quote from President Russell M. Nelson. Years ago, I changed my attitude about going to church. No longer do I go to church for my sake, but to think of others. I make a point of saying hello to people who sit alone, to welcome visitors, to volunteer for an assignment. In short, I go to church each week with the intent of being active, not passive, and making a positive difference in people's lives. Consequently, my attendance in church meetings is so much more enjoyable and fulfilling. I testify that as we're wide awake and fully engaged, God can bless us, and he can bless others through us. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.
I'd like to thank Jeff and Pat for their wonderful talks, and hopefully it provided inspiration to take advantage of the time we do have here each Sunday. I know I've really enjoyed our meetings, especially the new curriculum within our Sunday school classes. It's great. We also would like to thank Brother Grapes and Sister Clifford for the music. And the closing hymn will be on hymn 107, Lord, Accept Our True Devotion. And the benediction will be offered by Sister Jean Jensen.
Father in heaven, we're so grateful and blessed to have been at this sacrament meeting today. We're thankful for the sacrament, thankful that we can repent. Please forgive us for our weaknesses. We're thankful for these messages that we have received. Father, please help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We have heard inspired counsel. Please help us to make changes in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.